So our next presenter is Mr. Bradley Spear, and he's with NTT Data. But what's more fascinating is the group he's here to speak about. I'm gonna hold my comments in question time, but I'd like to ask, you know, you heard Andrew talk about that at one point, if you wanted some rack space in office, you could have a conversation with him, sign a contract, have a lease. But ever since that CW showed up, and it's, I guess they're one company now, that is no longer the case. If you need a fractional rack or something of that sort, that's no longer the case. So, Bradley, I'm going to let you introduce yourself more fully and do your thing.
Thank you, Boyd. Well, first of all, I told Boyd, next time he asked me to come speak, let me go first, because everybody that spoke before me, big brain people, me, small brain, 100%. I'm Bricks and Sticks, data center guy. So, a little bit about me. I started with NTT in 2020. Prior to that, I worked for the Retirement Systems of Alabama in their maintenance department. And it got me exposed to data center because a lot of their buildings had your traditional raised floor data center with crack units on each end to cool the IT infrastructure. So that got me into it, and then in 2020, NTT got selected to be the contract to manage the RSA data center in downtown Montgomery. During that time, I was operations, looked at all the heavy power and said, I've got a family. So I'm gonna go get my degree in marketing and move to the sales and marketing side of things. So that's a little bit about me. That's 10 years of experience just about, and now my degree. So some of the topics we're gonna cover today are up on screen. And we're gonna start with discussing what is a co-location data center specifically. And like Boyd said, it's where Albex was going, then they've got leased out, which is great for them, congratulations. But that leaves us one of the few players in the Alabama market that's a true co-location. So we'll go ahead and move on. So a co-location facility is a data center where we lease out the racks, the cooling, the power, and the security. That's it. We don't touch your network, you bring all your equipment in, and we just make sure the infrastructure to power, cool, and secure that is safe. You're in charge of all your network stuff. It's a nice hybrid, really, between cloud and enterprise data center, or even a telco room, because you get that added layer of security to it. And move on to this. So the advantages of co-location is you don't have to have a capital up front like you do with building your own, even just a telco closet. That's a lot of money to get the redundant power, the redundant cooling, the security. You don't have that. You move even bigger to where you're a 10 or 20 rack customer where you need your really own data center. You're talking about the numbers that Andrew was talking about earlier per kW. Millions of dollars for, you know, a couple of kW, or a couple of megawatts, I'm sorry. So that's where we bring that capital expense down and make it for anybody. Anybody can come in, lease a rack from us at a monthly rate instead of having to have that capital expense up front. Same thing with the operating expense. There's your month to month now, but it's a little bit lower because you're not having to maintain those generators, the chillers, the security systems, man somebody at the security desk, all those things that go into a traditional data center. The other thing that's nice about co-location is it's very scalable. You can start off with one rack, but as your IT infrastructure grows, you can scale up to as many racks as you want. Our site has a cap of 300, but we can easily go from 1 to 10 to 20 for a customer. It improves your uptime when you're looking at doing something on your own or enterprise. We have something called SLAs in place, service level agreements. That means we've got to be 99.9% uptime, which means the only downtime you can have is during scheduled maintenance, when you talk about 99.9% uptime. And once again, benefit, you don't have to do the scheduled maintenance. You get a notification, hey, we're gonna work on the power feed A, make sure you're redundant, or move everything to B. That way, the customer itself doesn't see downtime, but the site itself sees a slight downtime. Like I said, access to the redundant infrastructure. Another big thing is the 24/7 support and monitoring of the critical facilities. Once again, as somebody that's running a company and you have IT infrastructure or you're an IT company, you're not worrying about the power. You're not worrying about if that generator kicks on, do I have to drive down somewhere and make sure it's running? We're covering all that for you. Disaster recovery readiness is a big thing for the Montgomery market. With our location, it makes it where if you're in Huntsville, Nashville, Atlanta, anywhere around the world, and you're looking for just a DR, once again, it's an affordable way to get to that DR site. Is you just need one rack of space, redundant cooling, power, all that. Another thing that's a benefit for a co-location like ours, we're SOC 2 Type 2 certified, which means if your company is currently getting a SOC 2 certification every year, you don't have to do that to protect the IT infrastructure you keep in our site. We provide every client a copy of our SOC 2 certification, which prevents them from having to spend the money to get that. Any questions about some of the advantages of co-location data center? So, some of the disadvantages, and they are disadvantages or not, is it's not as flexible as some of your cloud services. You know, cloud services is cheaper, usually 100, 200 bucks a month, easy to get. You just log on, add, subtract as you need. It's scalable or you can reduce it. The setup expenses, not from the co-location itself, but your hardware is the biggest expense. It's you're providing your own hardware, your own network solutions. We're just delivering the cross connects to you to do that. And the hardware maintenance and replacement, because as things become legacy equipment, you know, you gotta replace them or you gotta maintain those. So that's the disadvantages. You're still dealing with your hardware. Any questions?
How do y'all charge for power and usage like that? What do y'all, what's your standard offering like for a rack? Is it AC, DC? How many?
AC.
AC.
Okay, and the way we charge that is on tiered system, depending on how much power you're using. So I can't give the numbers in public, but it's from zero to, you know, 1 kW is X amount. 1.1 to 2 is this, and then anything above that's the last tier. So who's ideal for the co-location? It's really anybody, small to large organizations, clients that have data that's got to be regulated. That's a big thing is some industries don't allow you to use cloud. You've got to have physical hardware. And so that's where we come in as a nice balance that you get that SOC 2 certification once again, but also you're being regulated by whatever entity. So financial institutions, a lot of education, a lot of medical that we have, they can't put certain data into a cloud system, and that's why they come to us. It's because we can lease them the space and they don't have to worry about that capital expense. People that are looking to enhance the protection of their data, and that's in the Montgomery market too. What's interesting is a lot of people still want to touch their equipment, and that's offered at a co-location like ours. And I'll get into that in a minute. But you know, there's a lot of places you can't go touch your equipment. You ship it to them, they rack and stack it, they plug it into the network, and you can't go on their site. They've got to manage it. And like I said, you know, clients looking for that affordable and reliable DR option. So who's heard of NTT Data before? Now that is more than normal. Yes, that's way more than normal. A lot of times when I tell somebody I work for NTT Data, they're like, who's that? You mean AT&T? No, I don't mean AT&T, NTT Data. So it was established in 1988 as NTT Data Communication Systems Corporation. Previous to that, it was Nepal Telephone and Telecommunications, Telegraph and Telecommunications. Based out of Tokyo, Japan, US side, our NTT Data Americas is in Dallas, Texas. We are the third largest data center provider in the world. And we have 190,000 employees. So the things we're known for is the R&D. We have 17,000 different patents. We're an innovation company as well. Any questions about NTT? Hey, I would point you to, if you want to learn more about some of our case studies, go to nttdata.com, and there's a drop down for case studies. We do smart cities. We have solutions for campuses that will, if you red flag a tag number, we have cameras that have AI integrated into it. It'll pick up that tag number and notify the school. Also with the AI cameras, if it will pick up on tones like yelling, or if somebody's running through a parking lot at an odd hour, like, you know, there's those things, and it'll notify the school to notify law enforcement. It can get the outline of a gun and automatically notify law enforcement, which is a big thing for public safety. So now we go into the specific site in Montgomery, Alabama. So we're located downtown at 445 Dexter Avenue. We're a little interesting, we're on the sixth floor of this building. And what they did is they were looking at building a data center, or the retirement systems was, as an investment. And they had a location picked out, but it only had one fiber entry. It didn't have multiple entries into the site. So they had the bricks and sticks of this building, no glass, anything. And they went over there and said, let's put it in the middle of the building. And they were like, okay. Because on this end, on the other end of the building, there's two different diverse paths of fiber optics coming in. And then the question was, how are we going to make this a secure data center inside of an office building? And so what they did is they wrapped the whole building in category one hurricane proof glass. They sealed the seventh floor above us, their floor, with an M3 solution that prevents water from coming down, and then reinforced the bottom floor, or the bottom of the sixth floor, so they can hold the weight for data center. Then on the inside, there's always 6 feet in between the glass and a wall. That wall's a missile defense wall. That'll stop a 2x4 going about 250 miles per hour. The glass itself will stop that 2x4 at 250 miles per hour. And then there's a buffer zone. So trying to make as much of a bunker out of the sixth floor as we could. It's about 37,000 square feet of data center space. The whole floor is 42,000. So the rest of the space is the on-site team office and the hallway. So that's it. We have over 10 internet service providers that come into our meeting room. They are encouraged to mingle with one another to build strong backbones for networking. All of the cross connects for clients come out of the meeting room through secure patch panels and highways that go from the meeting room to the data vault to that particular client's rack. Any questions about the building itself before I go into the HVAC? So, on the roof of the building, we have three 360-ton air-cooled chillers. At full design load, we need two of them, and we have one in the redundancy. At current design load, we're running one and have two in redundancy. In the event we're at full design load, we have those two running, one backup. We also have a 360-ton heat exchanger that's on the sixth floor with us. What that does is the building has three 890-ton chillers in the basement. It valves off all the other floors and sends all the chilled water to us. And then it's like an anthill, and it runs their cold water against tubing that cools ours down to the 45 degrees we need to keep the data center cool. I would say it's a bad day for the building if that ever happens, because it's hot in Alabama. In case y'all didn't know, because it's September and it's still 93 degrees out. Everything is fully redundant. That includes this Enro cooler here. So what's cool about these, sorry about that, is these are designed to fail to 100%. If one of these three fans were to go out, the other two ramp up to 100%. At current load, all three of them run about 30%. So if one goes down, the other ones just ramp up even higher, keep everything nice and cool. When it comes to the pumps that deliver that cold water throughout the site, we have three independent pumps that are not, one pump doesn't go to one chiller. Chiller one can be on pump two, or pump one can be on pump, or chiller three. So that just gives us an extra layer of redundancy. If a chiller goes down, we're not down a pump two. If we're down a pump, we're not also down a chiller. The heat exchanger has its own fire rated pump. It's rated just like a life safety system pump because it's the only one that goes to that heat exchanger. Any questions? So our power system's great. We get utility power from Alabama Power, and that comes straight from the Alabama River hydroelectric dam system, Lake Jordan and Lake Martin feed downtown Montgomery. We're on grid one, network one, which means we're on the same grid as the Capitol. So we get priority power with the Capitol building that's a block and a half up the street from us. We are a 1.6 megawatt facility. So when Andrew and Boyd were talking about these big data centers and how some of these are now 150, 200 kW per rack, we're 3.5 per power feed, which means it's 7 total, but fully redundant, you get 3.5 kW option. So we're designed for that small to medium business that isn't going to be running NVIDIA and heavy AI stuff. We're for the financialist institutions, the education, your everyday store. So when they're building it, we also put in two of these Cummins generators. They're 2.5 megawatts apiece. And so full redundancy, we're 1.6. They did that for a reason, so that no matter what, if we lost one of the generators, we can load tie and still run the whole site. Once again, everything was built with a level of redundancy and resiliency beyond just, we have backups, but we can also load tie and do stuff like that as well. We have 4,000 gallons of diesel on site, which at full design load of 1.6 megawatts is 24 hours. But we have two separate contracts with diesel providers, one on the east side of Montgomery and one on the west side of Montgomery. One is ag diesel and one is highway diesel. Because we found out that FEMA cannot stop agricultural diesel to get into the site. They can stop highway diesel trucks, but they can't stop an ag truck. And so we have 4-hour contracts with them, but that's in the event we need to stage diesel, we can stage about 30,000 gallons of diesel in the loading dock area of our site. Fully redundant switch here, and at the rack level we have three-phase power. So you have power feed A, phase 1, 2, and 3, feed B, 1, 2, and 3. So that just, once again, building in more redundancy and resiliency, plugging into phase 1 on power feed A, and feed B, phase 3, gives you that extra layer of redundancy. Any questions about power? And we do have direct from Alabama Power, from the hydroelectric system. And that's what the Capitol Complex brings in. So security and certifications, I'm not gonna read all this. We're SOC 2 Type 2 certified. We have 6 layers of security. So that's from using your badge to get into the parking deck, a badge to get into the building, security guards on the first floor of the building, a badge to get to the 6th floor, and then once you get to the 6th floor, that elevator lobby is our man trap. You have to have biometric and card to get through an anti-passback turnstile. Then another one to get, once again, biometric and card to get into the data vault itself, and then an HID card to get into your rack. So that just adds those layers of security. Somebody can't come up and just get into the 6th floor. I had somebody with an audit ask me one time, Well, what if they break into the building, climb six flights of stairs, shoot a hole through the lock, and then shoot through the glass, and then shoot through the HID to steal a server? I said, well, you know, we might need to get that man a beer because that's a lot of climbing and hustling to get to a piece of equipment. But it just, it's unrealistic to be able to get to the actual data. 35 cameras across the site, and we store that data for a minimum of 90 days. We guarantee 90 days. We have a lot more storage than that because of the way our cameras work is they start recording when they see activity, but they backtrack 20 seconds so they get the whole event. So it doesn't start recording until it sees something, but once it sees it, it backs it up and captures the whole event all the way to the end. Any questions? That's all from me. And open it up to questions or comments about co-location data center compared to just your enterprise data center or cloud data center. They're talking about, you know, Meta coming to Montgomery. Well, that's great, but Meta's there to serve themselves. That's a Meta data center for Meta data. You can't go and lease from them. You can come and lease from us, though.
Any questions?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So, because it's co-location, right, there's a separation of responsibility where the customer's responsible for their own hardware, responsible for the infrastructure out to the ISP. Suppose the customer has an issue and they're convinced that it's because of your infrastructure, how do you isolate whether that's true or not? Sorry, did you catch what I said?
I caught what you said. So how do we decipher what's our problem or the client's problem?
That's exactly right. Thank you.
So when it comes to IT infrastructure, we get notification from our service providers when they're having an outage. A lot of times if the service providers have an outage, the customer lets us know before they do, but we find out very quickly. In events where, you know, they see a power surge, I've seen that happen where a client goes, did y'all lose power? And we're like, no, we didn't. Well, can you go look? And we'll go look at their rack, and we don't have access, but we can see. They can say it's in this U of this rack, and we go, yep, it's powered up. And so, and we didn't have any blinks. And so we kind of work with our clients, and that's another benefit of co-location. You can call us at any time, and we're gonna answer. We're 24/7 by 365 on call. And the other benefit to the colo too is the customer has access to their equipment 24/7. Even some co-locations like Raging Wire, which I know NTT does some business with them, we don't have access to that. We're a customer of Raging Wire, for example. We have to go to their security office and get a temporary badge and be escorted to our equipment, even though it's the same concept as us. Our data center, you have a badge, you can go check it out for yourself. And a lot of that happens in that way as far as, you know, who's in the, who needs work and who doesn't need work. Because a client will be, you know, 10 minutes up the road, and they drive in and they check their equipment out. In the event that, you know, they're getting low light on a fiber or something like that, we'll work with them to say, hey, anything going on with the ISP? No. Then we'll fiber, we'll light test our fiber and make sure it's not cracked or anything like that. So.
All right, great, thank you.
No problem.
And our team can test doors to unlock at 3 in the morning. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
So for your clients, I know they bring their own, they bring their own equipment, but are there times when you have to help them or support them or help find the product as well, or how does that typically work?
Yeah, no, so they bring in their own equipment, but when it comes to helping them, we do offer smart hand services. So if they are remote and they need that remote hand service, we can do that. We also can write into the contract where, you know, you get X amount of smart hours per month automatically, or we also offer managed services as well so that we can, you send the equipment, we rack, stack it, light it up, and you have monitoring of it, but anything you need, we'll touch for you.
Gotcha. All right, thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, I think you have to touch on this one, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. We pick your data center for our network core. We pick your data center for our network core because of the presence of the MGMIX.
Yes.
Why don't you touch on that a little bit? I've got a couple members representing here.
Yeah, absolutely. The Montgomery Internet Exchange is hosted at the Dex Dragon Data Center. And it is a great asset to anybody that leases space from us. Anybody can reach out to Montgomery and get that. And what that does is it stores data in Montgomery. That would have to go back to Atlanta and back to Montgomery. To touch on what Andrew was talking about earlier too, is 0.6 seconds of latency, right? And so that's even quicker at the Montgomery site because we're, if you searched it, it's stored in Montgomery. And it doesn't have to go back to Atlanta to come here and get a result. So that is a big benefit of the data center as well, is that you can connect directly to that Montgomery Internet Exchange.
Any other questions? All right, so this is what we're gonna do, and lunch is being set up. I want you to do two things. We're gonna roll right into our next presentation.